newcomers. Eric, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Glad to be on with you. It's always a fun day at the Policy Summit. You know, having a full room, a lot of different personalities, and so it's always entertaining.
It is, you know, and it was a full room. I mean, we're talking about record attendance both here and online, you know, with everything that's kind of changed over the last, 3 years. You're able to broaden out who's able to attend, though, and I think that was a positive today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have people from around the state or even in other states that may not be able to make it here, and it's nice to be able to offer that. But as you know, nothing replaces getting in the room, networking with folks, which is always so much fun.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot of faces I haven't seen in a while out here. I was glad to see that a suit still fit because it's been a few years since I've had to put one on. Boy, I don't miss that at all. But, you know, let's dive into the meat and potatoes here, because you have these policy meetings for a reason. You get lobbyists, you get business people, people that you represent out to talk about very important issues. And I can think of none more important for business and for employment than workforce here. You represent the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce, and there's a room full of people that all have the same issues here. What are they telling you when they say, look, we got to address, I got to find workers, there's ways to do this? What are the top items that they give you, Eric?
Without a doubt, you know, workforce is number one. Mm-hmm. There's no silver bullet to do it or to fix that issue. So how do we get people back into the workforce? And so, you know, we've been hearing about childcare issues, trying to attract workers, you know, training new people, and even trying to appeal to non-traditional pools of workforce, whether it is people who are incarcerated, you know, students don't participate in the workforce the way they used to, and retired people. So there's a lot of different options out there. But, you know, what are some policy things that can be done to help further or move the needle on that? That's the million-dollar question right there.
Right. Well, and there was some talk of that from Governor Burgum. And were you surprised about the property tax thing? Let me just ask you that. When he comes out and talking about child care, all of a sudden, you know, that proposal yesterday, and this is my words, not the governor's, bad idea. Were you surprised by him coming out as hard on that?
You know, I wasn't. You know, I've listened carefully to what he said over the last, you know, few months. It became clear that they were moving in the direction of income tax. You know, and I, for one, you know, while we all complain about property tax, compared to other places in the country, our property tax is relatively low. That's not to say it's not a burden for some. But the challenge with the legislature, as you know, they don't levy local property tax.
Right.
As they've done property tax relief, that doesn't stop local spending. It just compounds the issue more in many cases. And so income tax, it was something that, you know, I fully expected him to support, or income tax relief, rather.
Well, and there's people that are listening saying, yeah, income tax is pretty dang low in North Dakota, too. I don't even notice I pay them. And that's what a conversation we're getting in our text club at 35270. And the pushback I've got on the property tax issue, and I've said this repeatedly, is you're right, mill levies and all that stuff proposed and debated at the local level, but what they do and don't do in the legislature has a direct impact as well. So it's going to be an interesting debate. The lines are clearly drawn. Has the Greater North Dakota Chamber, are they going to weigh in on this as far as officially taking one proposal over the other?
We may. I mean, we're going to be looking at all the proposals, kind of run them against, you know, our policy statements, run them through our policy process, and, you know, we'll see where they land. I mean, every session there is, you know, tons of different tax proposals. You know, part of the challenge is figuring out what has legs and what doesn't. But, you know, certainly when the tax commissioner, the governor, and the, you know, head of the House Finance and Tax Committee throw out a proposal, you know, that's something that will likely have legs and we'll have to take a hard look at.
Yeah. You know, one thing that was pretty obvious today, and it should have been for those that follow North Dakota politics, is a lot of new faces are going to be out here next session. You mentioned Craig Hedlund going to be, you know, chair of finance and tax. There's a whole room over there talking about who's going to be the next majority leader in the House, and I don't think that's been settled yet. So how do you, as somebody that represents business, the chamber, navigate through that? Because you're going to have new leadership on appropriations in both chambers, new leadership in the majorities in both. There's going to be a whole new ballgame on you for you, Eric.
It's going to be a whole new ballgame. And the one thing I've learned is that, you know, until that vote for the leader is taken, you know, you really don't know. And so, you know, what we try to do is just, you know, maintain, you know, the relationships we have with the legislature, try to meet the new people. I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of new people in the legislature, you know, try to talk to them about our issues, get to know them a little bit. But, you know, it's going to be a huge education session. Yeah. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. And so it's going to be a challenge. But, you know, the nice thing about it is it's, you know, we're getting some fresh faces, fresh ideas, and that's never bad.
Eric Spencer, I guess, he's the head honcho out here with the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce. It's their annual policy summit going on today. In fact, there's panels going on. I know they're talking about the legacy fund in there just moments ago, and I know that Attorney General Drew Wrigley is going to be on another panel coming up a little bit later on about overreach. And Attorney General Riegland making some news today. I'm not going to pull you into that, but we will be discussing it later on here. Governor Burgum and you and others were coming out. Child care is a big issue. I know the governor talked about that earlier. You're part of that press conference. And one thing that I think was part of his call today, one thing that I've said in this microphone is that business side of it. You know, what can businesses be doing? What should they be doing? What are they doing? And what should they be doing, given your position with the Greater North Dakota Chamber?
Sure. You know, how business respond to the child care crisis that we're having really varies depending on their needs, their size. You know, some larger businesses, you know, they'll purchase spots in daycares, you know, across the state. Others partner with other businesses to, you know, even start small daycares. Yet others will actually cost share on daycare for their employees. But, you know, not every employer is able to do that. You know, small mom-and-pop businesses, you know, that's a real challenge. And so I think, you know, what we appreciated about the governor's proposal is it's optional. If families can opt into it, businesses can opt in terms of a cost share to, you know, help, you know, buy down the cost of of child care. But the other piece of it that they talked about is obviously some of the regulatory environment those daycares need to work in. And, you know, are there things that can, you know, we can remove some barriers without sacrificing, you know, the safety of our kids. And I think that's something the state of North Dakota is going to have to take a hard look at.
Well, and I know there's some conversation that's been had about this. You know, you got that early stages of a child's development, but also with that before and after school, and then during the summer as well, where you've got, you know, maybe a child at home and you're trying to get to work. Has there been much discussion on that as far as expanding beyond maybe that 5 years and going from, you know, 6 to 12? Has that been a topic brought up from chamber members?
Absolutely. You know, we have a variety of policy committees that meet all throughout the interim. And, you know, all of those issues came up. You know, we're modifying our workforce policy statements to, you know, tweak it to allow for some a little more broad or a little more flexibility as we tackle child care issues. So, you know, they're absolutely on the mind of employers. They're trying to do different things to, you know, address that. And so we're trying to listen and respond accordingly.
As far as this upcoming session, what's the top priority from the chamber? Is it taxes? You mentioned income taxes, the child care. I'm just kind of curious what you have those listening sessions. What is it that Eric Spencer, as the head of this outfit here, going to be bringing in saying, this is what we got to get done?
Well, you could get me in trouble because we have a board meeting tomorrow where they're going to ratify our policy statements.
Okay.
But I imagine child care, workforce are going to be number one. You know, we always care about making sure that the state has good infrastructure that's critical to getting, you know, goods to market or getting inputs into the state. You know, and then we care a lot about our business climate. So, you know, having a low, consistent, predictable tax rate, you know, those kind of things. So we're going to be paying attention to all of those. You know, there are some specific things like, you know, there's a manufacturing automation tax credit. You know, we care about that. So there's going to be some specific things. One of those is we're going to watch how the legacy fund plan unfolds. You know, we think it should be primarily one-time spending that doesn't obligate the state forever, because when those wells aren't pumping oil, you know, how do you replace that money?
You know, Eric, it's interesting because before I got set up in here, I was visiting with somebody that's been involved with the tax department for a very long time, and they alluded to that as well. Of, you know, when you go through Moody's, they're saying in the next few, you know, bienniums, we're not going to be having $100 per barrel here. And if you're thinking about, well, can we do income tax and property tax based on legacy fund, that might not be an option there. So, I mean, yeah, we got the money there now, and I think we have, you know, been kind of stringent on how we utilize it. But that long term is already being discussed as, you know, it might not be as rosy in about 3 years as it is right now.
Yeah, you know, that's something we look at. You know, during the previous interim, we heard from Alaska, you know, and they have a huge sovereign wealth fund. But, you know, they give their citizens checks, there's free college, there's all sorts of free things. And the challenge that's presented there is they don't have enough money to cover some of the services now that state government's obligated to cover. And I think we have to have a conversation as a state about, you know, what are those things that we expect out of our government, and make sure if we expect that, you know, are we able to cover those long term?
I threw this out there, and it's only fair if I do it while you're sitting here, because I'm trying to figure out, with initiative measures coming up, we got an election right on the corner, trying to figure out who might be opposed to some measures. And I know the chamber has been very involved in measures in the past, so I'll give you the two that are top of mind. For or against term limits in North Dakota?
You know, I don't know where our organization is exactly going to end up. You know, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. I believe we have term limits already. They're called elections. They happen every other year. My personal concern about this proposal is that, and this might sound ironic, but, you know, when you don't have experienced lawmakers, you hand the keys somewhat over to lobbyists and the people who run government. And sometimes it takes, you know, a knowledgeable legislator to call BS when they need to.
And sometimes that has to happen. I'm speaking from experience here.
So, you know, I'm a little dubious of it, especially since we have a citizen legislature who has to go back and live in their community for 18 months before they come back out to Bismarck and make more decisions.
Okay, I'm going to say that's a position. So, like, and I'm just speculating here. So that gives me, I'm right on one of them. Second one, we talk about workforce. One of the workforce issues is, well, if somebody wants to go and smoke pot or take a gummy, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you have a drug test and all the penalties that come with that, there's going to be an initiated measure about recreational marijuana as a business lobbyist for or against recreational marijuana.
I'll say that this measure is a lot better than the one that came out 4 years ago. It has business protections, a lot tighter controls, so I think they've done a much better job crafting the measure. The challenge for business is that, you know, any business who accepts any federal dollars or is regulated in any way by the federal government has to comply with the Federal Drug Free Work Act. And so you're talking pre-employment and random drug tests. And so every state that this has been passed in, you see an increase in those failures. So we look at it as a workforce issue. I will say that this is far better than what happened, you know, 4 years ago. And, you know, ultimately, I think that, you know, it's coming around us. I think it'll happen here eventually. And I think that, you know, we need to stop thinking about how we can just keep everything out. And if it's going to come here, you know, what is a way that it's workable for both employers, citizens, communities? So, you know, I think my thought on this is a little more nuanced, but, you know, our board's going to take some action on it tomorrow one way or another, and then I'll be able to give you a little more honest answer.
I'll be listening. I'll be following along, Eric. Anything before I let you go? I know that this big group back here is, you know, eager. I think they're going to be coming in here shaking some hands here in a little bit, and I'll be visiting with some of them. What else, for those that weren't able to attend today, do you want to get up before I let you go?
No, it's just a great event. I appreciate you taking part in it. We only had a panel this morning on media, public policy, and fake news, and it was a really, really good conversation, and I wish more people could have been there to listen to it because it was fantastic.
Well, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. It was. I'll share some of that later on as well. Eric, I appreciate it. Thanks for the invite, and we'll chat again soon, all right?
Thank you.
Yeah, Eric Spencer, he's the president out here at the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce, the Policy Summit, the annual event going on for the next couple of hours here. I'll give you some more of the sounds here. I got messages in at 35270. That is the iConsultants of North Dakota Text Club. I'll come back to that right after this here on KFGO.